You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You aren't going to get another political discussion like yesterday, are you? Maybe I will. Don't tempt me.
With Joshua Briscoe.
He'll do it, man. He's crazy.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Yesterday, we spent the entire show on the Kansas City Chiefs losing to the New York Giants. And I promised you some things about today. Today, I promised you that I would tell you how I would fix it. And it puts us in kind of a difficult spot because I don't really know what's going on, you know, inside the walls of the locker room or whatever. But I have a couple of things. The main takeaway from yesterday, I hope that you had, was that the Chiefs had a lot of things go really poorly, and that the one common thread I'm finding between all of them is a trust problem. And I don't mean trust like, would Alex Smith trust his offensive line to catch him in a trust fall? Do they trust each other emotionally? Not that. And also not Rodney Harrison saying the team needs to play with more passion. I don't know if I mentioned that yesterday or not, but on Sunday Night Football, Dan Patrick asked Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy what was wrong with the Chiefs. And Rodney Harrison said, they need to play with more passion. Also, it smells kind of like burning rubber in here. Did anyone else smell burning?
Yeah, I just smelled that as you were saying that. It's probably the air conditioner, or not it's
the heater. The air conditioner is on in here. The heater should not be.
It just makes it smell just, sometimes.
Could you play the music really quick so I can look around the studio?
Yeah, hang on. And let me get that pulled up.
Sure. What I was going to say is, you know, Rodney Harrison said,
I'm ready when you are.
Okay, let me go ahead. Rodney Harrison said the Chiefs need to play with more passion, and that will fix their problem. They don't have a passion problem. Like, lots of teams are playing with passion. Yeah, it smells like burning. Go ahead and hit that.
If a fire shows up behind me, what do you guys tell me?
Beards and Charlie just shook their heads in unison. All right, I got nothing. It smells like burning, though. Like burning rubber.
Charlie says it's your flaming jacket.
I'm going to take that as a compliment. I'm going to take that as a compliment, I said to Charlie. Like it's on fire. Like the fire emojis.
Also, really quickly, before we go into a bunch of Chief stuff, can we do one thing really quickly?
What is the thing?
From Twitter, it's some Billy Preston news. Car was purchased early August in Florida, registered in Texas, 30-day tag expired, 2016 Charger, can't find owner's name.
That seems bad.
Probably.
Can we go back to the Chiefs now? The idea that only the good teams play with enough passion, or that you can just sort of see a team struggling and go, you know what I think the problem is? Passion. That is so lazy, man. Like, who do you think plays with passion? Because, you know, frankly, like, the Patriots don't really seem like a super high-strung team, and they win tons of championships. The Raiders seem to always play with a lot of passion. And they're not great. Is something else happening back there, Beard? You just showed your phone to Charlie, and then Charlie took off.
I was showing him the tweet that I saw.
Okay.
It was from somebody in the building.
Oh, okay. I mean, you can say who the tweet was from. It's a public tweet, right?
Yeah, it was from Kevin.
Okay. Got it. Okay, weird Chiefs hour so far. But I think the Raiders play with passion, and the Patriots don't look like they do. The Chiefs don't need to play with more passion. The Chiefs need to play better. And so, please, if that's your first criticism, the Chiefs need to play with more passion, then I need to know what exactly makes you think that. Two things that happened today, actually, though, really in the last couple of hours. The Falcons waived cornerback Jaylen Collins. he was described as talented but oft disciplined. The Chiefs should just claim him. Just do it. Who cares? Just do it. Also, the Seahawks waived defensive end Dwight Freeney. Just do it. Part two. Those are two additions that make plenty of sense. You get another pass-rushing body from Dwight Freeney. I know he's 1,000 years old. So is Tom Bahaly. You gave him like a $16 million contract for 2 years. Jalen Collins is a troubled cornerback with a ton of talent. That hasn't worked out in Kansas City since they drafted Marcus Peters the last time they did this. That is the one that would be inexcusable to pass on, in my humblest of opinions. It's worth a go. But a stat that came up today, the Chiefs have allowed fewer points per game defensively in the last 5 weeks than they did in the first 5 weeks. Something that I've been talking about pretty consistently, I think. This is not a defense problem. Now, would I feel better with another corner opposite Marcus Peters, who made me a little more confident in the defense? Absolutely. Would I love to have another pass rusher? Absolutely. Those things would certainly help the Chiefs long term. But the Chiefs aren't going to be a Super Bowl contender with the offense as it's currently constructed. It's just not going to happen. So you ask, what would I do? The first thing you have to do is identify the main problem and see if it's a problem that is fixable. Alex Smith was really bad on Sunday. But that's not the only thing going on here. That's not the core problem. The core problem is that this offense is so bleeping timid. This offense has been running scared the last 5 weeks, not so much against the Raiders, but all of the games surrounding it in this losing streak. Even against the Broncos in a victory. This is not a Super Bowl caliber offense. Even with a Super Bowl caliber head coach and a guy for 5 weeks look like a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. So that's the core issue. Then what? I don't know what's going on with Parker Anger. He was inactive last week. I don't know if he's hurt or not. I just simply don't know. And if he is hurt, then obviously this whole point is moot. But if he is healthy enough to play, he should be playing left guard. You can't do anything about Eric Fisher when he struggles. Anything about Laurent Duvernay-Tardif struggling unless you're going to try to scheme some things. Maybe you leave in a tight end more often to help with whoever the more dominant pass rusher is. Mitchell Schwartz has been better this year than Eric Fisher has. So maybe you leave Demetrius Harris in. God, they're talking on ESPN about if Baker Mayfield's antics hurt his Heisman case. If that is brought into consideration, my head's going to explode. Okay, I digress. Back to this Chiefs show. But God, what a ridiculous question. But the reason that I talk about the offensive line is this first thing goes back to that chain of trust that I just talked about and I have talked about. Beards on NFL Network right now. Do you see what they have? Chief concerns. They're using chief concerns.
Also, I don't have NFL Network on in here today. It's a blessing.
Well, you missed the one time it would have been worthwhile.
I know, but that's okay, though. They were showing the Baker Mayfield stuff over here, and they were censoring his junk jostle.
Yes, I saw that. I prefer rustling.
That works, too.
I think rustling is the appropriate word. Junk jostle is also pretty good.
It is pretty good.
That's my band name. Called it. That's mine. Okay. Junk jostle.
Also, really quickly.
Again.
Since they stole our chief concern, I think we need to use it now as often as we can this segment.
Okay, no, but I'll throw to it in a second.
Okay.
In case you don't know why I'm upset about NFL Network using the phrase chief concern.
Because we originated it.
It's because this is ours.
Chief concern.
Pew, 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 pew. That is our intellectual property.
You know what the NFL Network's chief concern is going to be soon?
Us.
When do we sue them for copyright infringement?
You're damn right.
Chief concern.
Pew, 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 pew. We got lawyers coming. Anyway, the offense is timid, and it's working like a Jenga stack. One of the bricks that gets pulled is the offensive line isn't very good, and it was good enough last week. I cannot stress this enough. It was good enough against the Giants, but it has to be pristine for Alex Smith to trust it, which is a problem. It is an Alex Smith problem, but it's just where we're at right now. Could that be fixed with Pat Mahomes? Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know if Mahomes would be wrecked behind that offensive line or if he would make that offensive line look a whole lot better with his ability to keep his eyes downfield whenever he's under pressure. I don't know. But if we assume that Alex Smith is staying in the offensive line has to be unstoppable. So stop running Ross Travis and Demetrius Harris out on routes. Leave him in to help. Leave a running back in to help. I know it limits your options, but it's what you have to do to keep Alex Smith confident. So keep play Charcandrick West more. Leave him in to block more often. Play Demetrius Harris more in pass blocking situations. Don't do that at the expense of Kareem Hunt or Travis Kelce, unless it's absolutely necessary. But that's a step I would do. I would go to. To try to help out this offensive line. Because Alex Smith isn't going to keep his eyes up whenever he thinks there's any chance of him being pressured. So you can start there if you're still working within the construct of Alex Smith. The biggest problem, though, again, is that the offense is broken. The offense has scored 9 points versus a team that gave up 84 points in the last two games. That is insanely problematic. And so it goes to Alex Smith and to Andy Reid. If the offensive line is doing what Alex Smith needs them to do, then Alex Smith gets a little more confident in the line and his ability to go deep, and then Andy Reid gets a little more confident in Alex Smith. It's trust. It's confidence. Again, not as these vague sportsmanship-like words that we throw around for no reason. In very practical ways. And I think that's how you get back to looking more like the offense you saw from the first 5 weeks. And then it is even more tweakable after that. It's getting the ball to Tyreek Hill downfield more. Making sure that Travis Kelce is a huge part of your game plan. Figuring out what's going on with Kareem Hunt in this offensive line and getting him going more often. The prime problem, though, still is the usage of Tyreek Hill. Once you get to that point, once you get to the point of, well, okay, our line is good, our quarterback is confident in the line, our coach is confident in the quarterback, then what? Then it's all about getting the ball to Tyreek Hill. But you can't even have that conversation right now. This offense has too many broken pieces to even begin getting to that point. Also, by the way, they're going to win the AFC West still. I don't know if you're concerned about that. You shouldn't be. The Chargers crushed the Bills last week. They looked pretty good playing a close game against the Jags and a close game against the Patriots, but they lost both of those games. They're 1-2 in their last 3 weeks. I'm not shaking in my boots. And their schedule isn't great from here on out. Also, the rest of the AFC West, Paxton Lynch is starting next week for the Broncos, which is super predictable. I always assumed that he would start a game this year. He just is now healthy enough to unseat Brock Osweiler, which so am I. And the Broncos also fired offensive coordinator Mike McCoy yesterday. They're bringing in a new offensive coordinator and a new quarterback. I don't think that's going to solve everything, but, you know, God bless him for trying. Also, the Raiders today fired their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr. And I don't think that he was the sole problem in their defense being terrible for the last, like, three seasons. However, he probably wasn't helping. Also, I don't know if he's been there for three seasons. I have no idea. He probably wasn't the sole problem for this defense being bad this year. So, the AFC West, with the smoking hot Chargers currently on a 1-2 streak. Meh. AFC West is still the Chiefs. The Chiefses. And the Chiefs could win 9 games and still win it. I'm pretty confident. Like, it would be nice to go ahead and beat the Chargers for a second time. But even if they don't, even if they just split, start getting to weird tiebreakers. The Chiefs are 6-4 right now. I think they're gonna beat the Bills this week, and I'll likely talk about that here in just a second. At the Jets, they'll probably lose that game because the world is awful. We get the Raiders at home, we get the Chargers at home, the Dolphins at home. If the Chiefs just win their home games from here on out, which they do, and they've done every single week this year except for whenever the Steelers come here, because it's actually the Steelers' home. If they just win their games at home from here on out, Bills, Raiders, Chargers, Dolphins, that's a 10-6 football team. Even if you lose at the Jets and at the Broncos, and 10-6 is going to win this division, it literally has to mathematically if one of those wins is against the Chargers. If the Chiefs win their home games, they're going to win the AFC West mathematically. Because the Chargers would have to win out to go 10-6. And one of their games is against the Chiefs. And Arrowhead. Also, they're at the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. The Chargers are going to lose again this week. So the AFC West is not necessarily any less closed than it was yesterday. Or than it was, I guess, Saturday. It's a mess. The AFC West is a mess, and the Chiefs are the best part of it. Now, I think that you could be a reasonable person and have heard the criticisms that I just levied over the Chiefs' offense. And I think you could reasonably say, hey, you know how we could fix a whole lot of these problems all at once? Patrick Mahomes. You might be right. You're probably wrong. Patrick Mahomes probably wouldn't fix this offense. But he might. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What are the safest possible things to say? We're going to devote a month to selling merchandise for this cause. Oh, the military, slam dunk.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And breasts. Cancer.
On ESPN Kansas City.
If people only heard the liners to this show, they would think we're doing such a good show. They'd be stupidly wrong.
Why do you think I only take the good stuff that we do?
Right. Oh, you don't know. Yeah, for sure. But I just mean, like, even within the construct of how the liners work, we're crushing it.
There's still a bunch more I haven't made yet.
Yeah, that's by far the best part of the show. The problem is, eventually we have to do the full 2 hours every day. I know it's been a while since I've complained about how hard this job is. But, like, I was thinking about it earlier. Like, talking for 10 hours a week and trying to not be repetitive is it's a ridiculous thing that we even attempt to do. And the easiest way to avoid doing that is to have lots of guests on. And I don't really like doing that because, like, we're not... It's not almost entirely guests with Joshua Briscoe. It's almost entirely me. It's the real name of the show. But I occasionally, I'm like, oh man, how do we get, I feel like a fish being flushed down a toilet. Like, how do we get to that? How did we spend 20 minutes on LeVar Ball? Oh yeah, that's 20 minutes out of a possible 600 this week. Think about that. That's crazy.
How many penguin poops?
Oh, God. Oh, sorry, hold on. Breaking news. Aaron, who's at AC Shutters on Twitter, has photoshopped my face onto Alex Smith's body.
Is that a new one?
That's a new one.
I got to look this up.
It just came in just now. I really thought it was going to be on Mahomes. And it's not. It's on Alex Smith. So that's fine. But it's just like... It's ridiculous to think. Also, just like, yeah, Charlie's also just seeing, Charlie Beard's just seeing this picture of, again, my face on Alex's body. Oh, also, Beard's just showed Charlie, the Fight Club one that the Aaron made earlier. He had some very
funny...
That might
funny, be my favorite one.
Yeah, because it's me as Brad Pitt's character in Fight Club, and instead of holding the bar of soap that says Fight Club, I'm holding the show logo. He tweeted a couple of different things that sound like lines from the movie, like, I am Josh's smirking revenge. Or, this is my favorite one, I think, is, I am Josh's inflamed sense of rejection. You guys have both seen Fight Club, right?
It's been a while, but yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure. A friend of mine was in...
Charlie's a big nerd. He's read it, too.
Yeah.
I've heard people say the book isn't that good. You enjoy... Okay, Charlie seems to have enjoyed the book. Far from the microphone. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on Wild, Wet, and Wacky Wednesday. Woo! We'll talk about Fight Club more. Because, again, you know, 600 minutes of content every week is hard. What was I going to say? Other than me complaining about just how hard and difficult this job is. I have to sit in the studio and talk.
Anything else you want to complain about while we're at it? Since we're on that
almost entirely complaining.
I mean, I was going to talk about Mahomes.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, of course.
But that's
how could we forget?
That's because it's a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's 5:26. Time to talk Mahomes.
Oh, man, I had another point before it was needless, half-bleeped complaining. Can I get some music for while I think about what I... about what I was going to say? Thank you. What was I... What am I talking about? Thinking about. I got nothing. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. My main things with the Chiefs right now, as I said last segment, is that the offense is broken right now. They've been bad. They put up 9 points on Sunday versus a team that gave up 84 points in the last two games. That is broken. Why is it broken? It's broken because it's timid. Why is it timid? It's timid because Alex Smith doesn't feel like he can trust his offensive line. What does that do? It means he doesn't keep his eyes downfield, which is such an important thing for quarterback to do. It's a trait that Patrick Mahomes flatly has. He didn't spend most of his college career going up against NFL rushing attacks, or NFL pass rushing attacks, I should say. But he also didn't spend much of his career with a really solid offensive line in front of him. And yet, he was consistently able to scramble, keep his eyes downfield, and make the best of it. This offensive line isn't porous. This is not a horrific offensive line. It just isn't a moat. In fact, I wrote a little column yesterday for Arrowhead Addict. Went up this morning. If you go to arrowheadaddict.com, you can read it. Just to go along with yesterday's show. And I had such a good line. Beards, can I get some music while I look up my own article? Thank you. And I, as I pointed out last week, Andy Reid doesn't ask his players to do more than they're capable of. He's not going to leave a guy out to dry because he would like to see them try to do that next thing at the next level, which is usually a good thing for a head coach. You don't want to put your players in that kind of position. Here is the really wonderful line that I wanted to pull up from the article that I wrote. Again, on Arrowhead Addict. It's called Trust. Trust, Timidity, and How the Chiefs Lose to the Giants. It sounds like I'm writing a novel. When Alex Smith trusts his offensive line, keeps his feet steady, and holds his eyes downfield, he's shown MVP caliber performances. When he gets rattled, the castle crumbles. The offensive line hasn't been a dumpster fire in the last few weeks, but it also hasn't been the moat that Smith would most prefer to rely on. Because of the castle crumbling, and then the moat. You guys, did you get it? So I said that if he gets pressured, then the castle crumbles, and it hasn't been a dumpster fire, but it also hasn't been a moat that he would prefer?
Yes, I heard.
Okay. But did you get it, though?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I don't know about...
He didn't get it.
Could I get some music for while Beards and Charlie try to figure out the intricacies of what I just said?
Yeah, I'm playing the music right now.
What are you doing?
Oh, I got a thing to go to.
See you tomorrow, Charlie.
See ya.
Did you get it, though? Did you get it?
Yes, I also got it when you explained it to everybody.
Okay.
Bye, Charlie.
He's gone. Charlie's actually gone.
And yet he will rise back tomorrow for a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday.
Here's the thing I was going to talk about, though, that I am talking about, I guess. The offense is timid. Alex Smith needs a moat. Andy Reid needs Alex Smith to be good before he's willing to ask him to do more. What happens if everything is exactly the same as it currently is, except for Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback? It's a completely fair question. Because I don't think that Pat Mahomes needs a moat of an offensive line. He doesn't. I don't think he's going to fail to keep his eyes downfield. That's something he does very well. I don't think that Andy Reid has to earn trust in Patrick Mahomes' arm and his ability to get the ball to Tyreek Hill downfield. We know he can do that. Would it be rough? Would it be sloppy? Would it be rough around the edges? Sure. Would the Chiefs be worse against the Bills with Pat Mahomes than Alex Smith? Yeah, probably so. Is the change going to happen this year? I don't think so. No. But I totally understand why you would hear my list of problems and then immediately jump to, wait a second, why wouldn't you bring Patrick Mahomes in to fix these problems? He can fix these problems from the quarterback position. You wouldn't have to give more help to Eric Fisher or whatever. You wouldn't have to leave more of a pass blocking running back in the backfield if you have a quarterback that can work around the weaknesses. And that's one of the things with Alex Smith that I think is, with a few stands left out of the sample size, I think almost everybody can agree on the idea that Alex Smith is always going to largely be a product of his surroundings. I don't think that's unreasonable. Whenever things around him are good, he's going to be very good. If Tyrod Taylor was in Kansas City, I think he'd be better than he is in Buffalo. If Alex Smith was in Buffalo, I think he'd be a lot worse looking than he is in Kansas City. Not on a handsomeness level. His handsomeness could play in any market. But that's kind of just where I am, and I think that's all fair and okay. I don't think any of that is unreasonable. I also really think that Alex Smith is going to start every game this entire season, barring injury. One thing, though, that does open up, and I was thinking about this earlier today, by gently patting the console here, I've shorted out my headphones, which is awesome. Because can I get some music for Josh trying to jostle his headphone plug around?
We can either do that, or I can say something really short and really quick.
Sure.
About randomness.
Sure.
So
I might not be able to hear it, but okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
The Twitter mob has struck again. They are accidentally yelling at LeVar Burton and not LeVar Ball.
I saw that story.
Bad internet mob. Bad.
All LeVar Burton did was try to teach you how to read.
And go to space.
That's also true. I knew LeVar Burton from reading Rainbow. LeVar Burton was out here educating you.
And you had to betray him.
You ungrateful cretin.
Mob.
Is it cretin or cretin?
Either. Sure.
I don't think you can just say either. Hold on, let's find out. Oh, I don't need the music. I got it.
Cretin. Cretin. Cretan.
What'd you do? Just go to Cretan. It's a Cretan. You ungrateful Cretan!
Cretan.
Yeah, if you just Google a word, if it's a single word, it'll pop up with a definition and a pronunciation. It didn't work for penises, by the way. That's too complicated of a word. Anyway. Yeah, appreciate LeVar Burton. LeVar Ball, meh. Although, frankly, LeVar Burton taught you how to read, how to appreciate books. LeVar Ball taught you how to be a baller. What?
Let me rewind it.
Why would you interrupt me like that?
Cretin.
That's not right. That's like a third pronunciation that I'm uncomfortable with. Anyway, I understand if you think that Pat Mahomes would fix some of those offensive problems. And oh, here's the thing that I was going to say whenever I was smacking the console and it ruined my headphones. Somebody was tweeting Alex Smith stat lines whenever he was hurt and then ultimately benched for Kaepernick versus right now. They're almost identical. It's amazing. It's a couple touchdowns, a couple interceptions different. But the completion percentage and the record are all almost exactly the same. I do think that this opens the door in a big way for what if Alex Smith gets hurt against the Bills and misses a start? If he misses a quarter, I don't think it's going to matter. But if Alex Smith were to, say, get hurt this week, and then he was going to miss the next game in New York against the Jets, and if Pat... Why are you knocking on wood?
Just in case.
Okay. And then if Mahomes was going to start against the Jets and then perform well against the Jets defense that has some talent on it, I think that's when we could hear Andy Reid come out and say, we're gonna stick with Pat this week and see how it goes. How was the Andy Reid impression? Didn't feel great.
You didn't say I'm Andy Reid at the end of it?
Oh, dang it! That's my bit! I'll try that again. I think that if Smith were to get hurt and then Mahomes is going to come out and have a single start and play well in it, I think we might hear next right here. Saw some really good things from Pat last week. We're going to stick with him next week. I'm Andy Reid.
Much better.
Thank you. I really felt
you have
like
talent.
I,
you know that?
I know. I felt like I really was vocalizing it much better that time.
You should do this professionally.
I should. Give me another person I can do an impression of real quick.
Since we're on the topic, LeVar Ball.
I'm LeVar Ball. Never lost.
Not bad.
Right, pretty good, right?
LeVar Burton.
Let's read a book. I'm LeVar Burton. It's like he's here in the studio.
Is he? Is he actually?
Yeah, LeVar, welcome to the studio, LeVar. Tim Hasselbeck is on my screen. I'm going to crush this one. Ready?
Sports. Lions. Matt Stafford. I'm Tim Hasselbeck.
It's like having them all in studio.
I need to remember to turn the television audio down in the studio.
Here's one. Tell me if you can. I'm going to do an impression really quick and see if you can guess who it is.
Is it going to be Charlie's dad again?
No. That was funny, though. Oh, no! I'm Nathan Peterman. Any guesses?
Tyrod Taylor.
Dang it. Anyway, if Patrick Mahomes was going to get some playing time and then play well, I think you might hear that from Andy Reid. But up until... I think that's the only door that's been opened here. Anything more than that, I would be really, really surprised to see. By the way, Nathan Peterman at one point had 9 pass attempts and 4 interceptions. He ended with like 14 attempts and 5 interceptions, I think was the stat line.
I think he got named Defensive Player of the Week as well.
It's pretty funny.
Thank you.
It's a pretty good joke.
I stole that.
You stole it from Twitter.
I did.
I should admit it. Unlike some people.
Yep. You know who you are.
But Nathan Peterman had 5 interceptions in like 15 pass attempts. five interceptions and like 15 pass attempts. Tyrod Taylor had 254 pass attempts and three interceptions this year. I think he ended up throwing one in the game, maybe upping it to four.
Yeah, I think that was the case.
But this was at the moment that Peterman had four picks and nine pass attempts. It was 9-4 versus 254-3.
Are you going to continue with the Tom Brady stat that I heard on Lebatard last night?
I don't remember what it was.
It was like Tom Brady's thrown as many picks as Peterman did in like,
it was like 800
more
yes.
attempts.
Yes.
Unless the next two pass attempts he has are interceptions, either one of them is an interception, then he has exactly 800 more.
Oh, okay. So he would have had like 813 then. Probably.
812, I think.
Okay.
Or something like that, yeah. That's how math works, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been a while.
Math here is a loose concept.
It's been a while, man. The last math I had was calculus.
That's not true. The last math you had was penguin poop.
That's true.
They've had their own curriculum now. There's probably a pun in the word curriculum that would involve another word for poop, but it would be an FCC violation.
Let's avoid that.
The FCC is getting pretty buck wild recently.
I don't know, man. They were having to censor Baker Mayfield on ESPN.
Yeah, but like right now, the FCC is like net neutrality. It doesn't matter. And also multiple corporations. One corporation can own multiple news stations in a city. And like all sorts of rules are changing from the FCC. Another very funny joke would be to say, like, I don't give an FCC. But to try to enunciate it. But that would also I would just sound like I was cursing. So we're going to avoid that one. Anyway, doing a quick little peek ahead to the Bills game. If you put a gun to my head right now, before Chiefs-Bills, I would pick the Chiefs, and then I would ask you to pull the trigger on the gun so I didn't have to watch the game. That would be my order of operations. If they start Peterman, the Chiefs are going to win, period. Because if they start Peterman, they cannot bench him at halftime again. Like, if you are really going to say, bleep this season, bleep Tyrod Taylor, let's see what Nathan Peterman can do, you can't pull him after a half.
Did you see that half?
Oh, yeah, no, it was terrible.
Like, that's enough reason right there.
Well, not if you can't go back to him again.
But you already went back to him.
If you're going
to
give him 30 minutes of an NFL career, that's bad general managing also. Bad coaching, poor general manager decisions, just truly horrendous. As was Nathan Peterman. Truly horrendous. All of that counts. But if the Bills start Peterman on Sunday, the Chiefs are going to win. If they start Tyrod Taylor, they should still win. But they should have won on Sunday. So this is the thing now. This is where we are with the Chiefs now. We were pessimistic about them in the playoffs just because. Now I'm pessimistic about them, like, on a game-to-game basis against bad teams. But the Bills are 5-5 right now after losing three straight. They gave up 34 points to the Jets, 47 points to the Saints, and 54 points to the Chargers. Many of those were because of all of the interceptions. But that's insane. They've given up 101 points in their last two games. Now, the Giants had given up 84. So, this is the problem we have. This is the problem we have now as Chiefs fans. This seems like a game where the offense should explode. Not quite as much as we felt like it should explode coming off of a bye week against the Giants when they ultimately scored 9 points. So that's where it gets problematic. Also, for what it's worth, if we see another 9-point performance here, I'm not going to be able to hold back my Patrick Mahomes. The angry mob is coming. They are going to destroy you.
Do they have torches and pitchforks, or what do they have instead?
They actually, unlike Alex Smith's fan base, they have range weapons, so they can attack you from a distance.
Solid joke.
Yeah, no kidding. That was freaking perfect. The Patrick,
that was better than anything I was expecting.
Yeah, me too. The Patrick Mahomes can attack you from 20 yards away. Alex Smith's mob has to run right up to you, stick their face to your face, and then they just jab you in the stomach with a football. Which I imagine would hurt.
Especially if that's like a spiked football.
Sure,
which I feel like an angry mob would use.
Yeah, sure.
That's
not
a normal
point.
Football.
Yeah. Again, though, you're basically just flinging like super heavy arrows if you're one of the Mahomes. Thank you for acknowledging that was a solid joke, though.
It was a good joke.
Because it was.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Nothing's worse than like getting like going all in on a Halloween costume, and then like if you go to a party or something, people constantly asking you what you are.
I think slavery was worse.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I was getting
almost
entirely too
much there.
I wasn't going to laugh, but I heard Beards absolutely cackling through this like bulletproof glass
on ESPN Kansas City.
It's just one of my favorite moments in the history of the show.
That to remind you that tomorrow is a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday.
It's a teaser right there. I mentioned earlier that the Seahawks waived defensive end Dwight Freeney and the Falcons waived cornerback Jalen Collins. I wanted to revisit it just for a second to say that I'd be pretty shocked if they claimed Dwight Freeney. It doesn't seem like a move that they would make, to be terribly honest. Jalen Collins would surprise me less. It would still surprise me because the Chiefs just don't seem to make the waiver claims that most people would make. And I don't know if it's, you know, trying, if it's outsmarting themselves, if it's them knowing more about these guys than we do. I don't know. And it doesn't really matter. But if I was in their shoes, knowing what I know about the Chiefs, maybe more than anything, excuse me, I would be extremely interested in Jalen Collins. This defense has a chance to improve its secondary, and this is exactly the time to do it. It's just sitting there. Give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, fine. It costs you some cash this year, whatever the cap moving around you have to do. Just do it. They probably won't, though, because they love whatever Philip Gaines and Kenneth Acker continue to get on the field as Terrence Mitchell is forgotten, left to rot in the basement of the depth chart. Also, by the way, it's probably too late now if you want to go get in line, but Patrick Mahomes is out at the Hy-Vee in Englewood right now. Like I said, if you try to get there now, you might not get to the front of the line in time before he has to leave.
I'm surprised we haven't done the last hour of the show with you on the phone as you drive.
Well, so what I was just about to say, Beard, is you think you'd carry the last 10 minutes? I didn't want to leave you with no me.
I mean, we saw what happened last time. We put me in the host chair.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, like, I can go see.
Like, do we want to keep being on the air and having a good show?
Are we having a good show? I think today's been okay.
It's been okay.
Yeah, today's been fine. We had some sports and then almost entirely sports and some good nonsense and some jokes.
Oh, yeah.
That's been a good show. Sure, it's been a good show. An hour and 50 minutes. An hour and 49 minutes. Yeah. No, an hour and... Wait a second. An hour and 51 minutes. That's plenty. And just instead of having a bad segment here with me distracted by the fact that Patrick Mahomes is out in the public right now, I could just go.
Well, see, here's the issue. Everybody will clamor about the ending of a movie if it's bad. It's like the rest of the movie can be good, but then if the ending of the movie's bad, then everybody gets up in arms.
That's a good point. I have been dead the whole time on the inside. Also, if I just spent the last like 8 minutes of the show, not even, probably like 5 minutes with the commercials and stuff we have to go to. If I spent the last like 5 minutes of the show just going hog wild on the politics in Alabama right now, you're right. People would latch onto that more than my good Patrick Mahomes analogy and joke. people would overlook that good, good joke I made.
People would look over Scott Chasen's interview.
Yeah. Yeah, they would.
And the fact that NFL Network stole our chief concern imaging.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they used the... How amazing would it be if we turned up the volume and we saw the word chief concern, so we turn up the volume, and then we heard verbatim this.
Chief concern.
Pew, 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 pew. NFL Network just using the exact same imaging. That would be unbelievable. Really, my whole Twitter timeline right now is just, like, seriously, it's Sam Brownback, somebody, some baseball tweet, and then John Lasseter, the guy who's like the head of Disney Pixar. He's also a sex pervert. Like, even Toy Story at this point has been soiled. Are you kidding me? He's taking a leave of absence from Disney. It's like if my Twitter timeline was going to dictate the show, as it tends to do occasionally, I would be thrown into that direction. Also, something funny that's happened in Denver. It's a story. It's been a story about a trade. Or the Eagles being interested. I guess not a trade. Nick Fairley's a free agent. And like, the Eagles are apparently interested, and a couple other teams are interested in him. And Benjamin Albright, we've had on the show a couple times. He's on radio out in Denver. He keeps getting referenced as like a local blogger or a Twitter user by other reporters and other articles, even though he has like actual scoops. It's funny to watch. Largely, like, traditional media try to figure out how to give themselves as much credit as possible. Stuff like that drives me crazy. When ESPN does it sometimes, when they'll say, what are you looking at right now, Beards? What's going on?
The guy that's making an ice sculpture out of the butt fumble.
Oh, yeah, on ESPN they were making
that is
an
amazing.
Ice sculpture out of the butt fumble. Also, Katie Nolan is hosting this thing, so now Beards is gone again for the rest of the show.
I was going to make...
What were you going to say?
I was going to point out the fact that he was caressing the butt of the butt fumble statue. And then you're like, oh, Katie Nolan. I was like,
nope, nope, nope.
Can't
nope.
do that now.
Nope, 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 nope. Sorry for ruining that joke. Honestly, not only did I ruin the joke in the moment, that's one of the things you should have just been like, not even going to reference the joke. I'll tell you later. I'm sorry for ruining your pure butt fumble joke. Your joke about ice sculpture butts. Having nothing to do with any human being. Other than maybe Mark Sanchez.
It wasn't his butt.
It was the offensive lineman's
butt. Yeah, it was the butt that he ran into.
Okay, good point. Yeah, I ruined it. I'm the worst. You're right. Hey, really quick, I don't know if you've... I mean, we've said this, so you probably know already. But there's obviously no show here on Thanksgiving. And on Friday, Beards and I are over doing Between the Lines on Sports Radio 810. So you have 3.5 hours of us.
I doubt there will be a live stream.
Too much.
I might be able to work on trying to get that up. There's
we'll
some technical stuff. Yeah,
we'll
see.
Try.
I doubt it, but we'll see.
We'll be over there, though. So tomorrow, the last show of the week... under the official umbrella of Almost Entirely Sports. I don't know how that affects your day-to-day life, but it's true. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.